very exciting symbol called Gimel, which a lot of it, again, should be familiar to us, because like with all the Tzaravos, we've been utilizing these concepts, you know, the entire year, and then we just get to see the source of where the concept comes from, and sort of learn the sugya actually from the ground up, as opposed to just the implications of the sugya. So the Kuf Gimel is about Nosi Tamid Kam. The source of Nosi Tamid Kam is the Gemara of the Zara of Samad Zayinim Aleph, where the Gemara has a machlokas as follows. Vatanya, Echad Nosi Tamid Kam, Echad Nosi Tamid Shvach, Osir Divra Meir. The Meir holds that even if something not kosher is Nosi Tamid Kam, it's still going to be Osir. Rabbi Shimon Amar L'Shvach, Osir L'Fkam Mutter. That if it's something that's not kosher, is Nosi Tam L'Shvach. That's a problem, but if Nosi Tam L'Fkam, then it's going to be Mutter. That's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. The Gemara says that a mayor is based on Giyulei Avdei Kechavim, because the Kalim are Nosi Tam L'Fkam at some point, and yet we still have a parsha of the Torah that requires Kasher and Kalim. Well, why on earth would you need to Kasher Kalim if they're always going to be Nosi Tam L'Fkam after 24 hours? Elamai, even though they're Nosi Tam L'Fkam, it's still going to be Asr, and that's why you need to Kasher them. Rabbi Shimon is based on a pasuk, L'Sofu Kol Neveno, L'Gera, Shem Yishrachat Yidana, V'Achala, O Machor L'Nachri, that you're not allowed to eat Neveno. What should you do with Neveno? So you have two options. Either L'Gera, Shem Yishrachat Yidana, V'Achala, you give it to L'Gera, Shem Yishrachat, and let the non-Jew eat it, or Machor L'Nachri, or you sell it to a Nachri. So Ger Toshav or a Nachri, that a Jew cannot be eating it. Ger over here, of course, does not mean a Ger Tzedek. A Ger Tzedek is a Jew, and you're obviously not allowed to give him Nevela, nor is he allowed to eat Nevela. But the point is that Goyim can eat Nevela. So Rabbi Shimon says, you see from the fact that you feed it to Goyim, that it says, oh, what are you going to do with the Nevela? You're going to feed it to a non-Jew. You're going to feed it to a Nachri. That Nevela, Ruyel Ger, Us Asur Ba'achilu, Nevela She'en Ruyel Ger, Ein Nachri Nevela. That only a Nevela that's Ruyel Ger is called a Nevela, but a Nevela that a Ger would never eat, meaning that a human would never eat, because it's so problem, it's so ruined and spoiled, so that's not even a nevela. That part of the qualification of being a nevela is it has to be something that's eligible for the Gera Shem Yishrachat Yidan of Achala, that he has to be able to eat it. And if it's something that he would not eat, then it's not a nevela, it's therefore going to be mutter. So anything that's not roi l'achilas Adam is mutter. A lot of times people are used to the phrase roi l'achilas kelev. That's a totally different halacha. So if it's not roi l'achilas kelev, it's a chametz tikka halacha. That has nothing to do with Yoredei. With Yoredei, we talk about roi l'achilas Adam. It's a much different criteria. That even if a dog would eat it, but a human being would not eat it because it is spoiled to the point beyond human consumption. So then it's not a problem available. Now, it is important to note, and we will come back to this, but let's just say it up front, that there are two types of tam pagum. There are two dinim in tam pagum. There are things that are pagumim biatzmam, meaning you have a piece of meat that is nevela. It is mamish, not kosher. And then it spoils. You leave it out long enough that it spoils to the point that it becomes inedible. So the meat itself becomes heter. Right? You can have a steak that's mamish from a nevela, an animal that was hunted, was not shechted, and that steak becomes kosher. It becomes kosher when it becomes inedible, when it becomes not ru'uya l'achilas adam. That's if a person chooses to eat it, then you have concerns that it's achshuvei, and if a person chooses to eat it and thereby demonstrating that for him it's edible, so it's might are going to be an isser. But let's just leave that aside go stick with the basic halacha that once it becomes not ru'uya l'ger, it becomes mutter. Right? The second type of Tam pagum is tam pagum, pagum b'tarobes, not when something is pagum b'atzma, where it's with the item itself, the tarfus itself, becomes pagum, but something where the mamashos is gone, the mamashos becomes batel, or there is no mamashos, and the tam has a negative impact on the kosher food. It doesn't have to make the kosher food inedible. It just has to have a negative impact on the kosher food. So in the first type, when something's pagum ba'atzmum, the food itself has to actually spoil. It has to be inedible. Whereas the second type of tam pagum, it doesn't have to be inedible. It just has to be worse than it was. The non-kosher has to have had a negative impact on it. So they give examples of wine and meat. Those examples probably don't work in contemporary times. The example of Reisman likes to give is chocolate syrup on tuna fish. So if you have chocolate syrup on tuna fish, it makes the exactly, that's what he was going for. It makes the tuna fish much, much worse. Now, will the yeshiva guy eat it? Probably. But he won't enjoy it as much as if there wasn't chocolate syrup on tuna fish. So therefore, if you have trach chocolate syrup that goes on tuna fish, that's still in tablet of gam, even though it may still be ruyul ger, may still be roi for achila zazam. And the mamashas of the chocolate syrup will be batel barov of the tuna fish, let's say. But since the chocolate syrup makes the tuna fish worse, so therefore it's going to be mut. Now the Yerachayim HaKadosh on Chumash asks, how do we know that Nevela Riel Ger is that only Nevela Riel Ger is awesome, and then Nevela Shena Riel Ger is mut? Maybe one could have tied it just for reading the pasuk. Pasuk says, what should you do with Nevela? I have nothing to do with it. I can't eat it. There's nothing I can do. You're not even supposed to do schor with my palestinians. I got nothing I'm supposed to do. What can I do with it? But I have nothing that I could do with it. So the Torah says, give it to a guy. Right? Let a guy have it. So, but maybe says Yerachayim HaKadosh, all Nevela is asur, even Nevela Sheinu Ilagev. And the Torah is just saying that if it happens to be edible, might as well give it to a guy. If it's inedible, okay, so then throw it out. Throw it in the garbage if no one wants to eat it. But if you have someone that's going to eat it, okay, so in that case, you give it to a guy. But maybe in either case, I'm not allowed to eat it. In either case, it's going to be us. So the Yerachayim HaKadosh explains that the limud is from the change of the lashon in the pasuk. It's from the flipping of the noun and the verb in the pasuk. By the ger, it says leger asher v'shrecha titinena. So it says who to give it to first, leger asher v'shrecha, and then it describes the act of actually giving, titinena. Right. So first it says to whom, and then it says what you're doing, the actual giving to him, and then the pasuk says oh, machor lenachum. And then it flips, right? Oh, machar is what you do, and then to whom? Lenachri. So really, both parts should say what to do before to whom you do it, right? It should have said, titnena leger o machar lenachri. Why is it leger shemeshav titnena o machar lenachri? Says Yerachayim HaKadosh, because the Torah wanted to juxtapose nevela to the word ger. As the Sof will call nevela leger, the Asher B'Sharef, etc. So to teach that only a Nevela Ruyel Ger is called Nevela. Meaning it's as if you could, there is a, sometimes you have the Limudim even in Chazal where you change the punctuation in the pasuk, by the fact that the Torah juxtaposed two words, punctuation is normally very critical in the pasuk, right? So our punctuation in Sukkim is what we call trump. Right? If you get it wrong, a lot of times you change the whole meaning of the pasuk. My father-in-law reminded my cousin before my cousin laid at the offer of the Shabbos. So my father-in-law said, you have to pause when you say, Hamakalel Aviv V'Imo, pause, Mos Yimas. Because so many people read it, Hamakalel Aviv, Imo, Mos Yimas. Curse your father, kill your mother. So that's not, right? It's important to have the punctuation right. But sometimes, if the Torah goes out of its way to put two words next to each other in a way that's unnatural for it to put two words next to each other, so that's an indication that it's the Torah is trying to teach me something. So it's trying to tell me Nevela Leger, that there's such an Indian of Nevela Leger. The Chassam Sofer in his Chidush Mamasech Sevel Zara says differently. He says, from the fact that the Torah says va'achala, right, that the Ger Hashem Shabbat Leder va'achal, and he should eat it. He needs advice of what to do with the steak. Right? You're giving him meat. So give it to him. What he does with it. So I have to tell him, oh no, this is for eating. You're supposed to eat. Well, what's that word adding? Why does he need my etza? And what he's supposed to do with it? That's actually the lashon of some stuff. He says, v'chili yoetzu tzarech mayase menavela. He needs your etza, what to do with the nevela? In yochlena Allah, whether he should eat it or not? So it must be that the Torah is saying that if it's right after the Sadam, you need to give it to the guy. Otherwise, you keep it because it's not in the Vela. Now, Rabbi Shimon in the Gemara is one that said that Nevela Shenu Rilger is in Korean Vela, and therefore no Sintam of Gam is Mutter. So what's Rabbi Shimon going to do with Havelis Kevim? So we already discussed this earlier in the year, so let's just quickly repeat. Right, why do I ever need to do Havelis Kevim? So I'd stay 24 hours, and then it would be Tam Pagum, and we don't see Tam Lekam, it's not going to be a problem. So the Gemara says, Lo Asur Torah L'Kedera Bas Yom. You don't have Minah Torah, Yom Yaptah Kasher, when it's Ben Yom, in the first 24 hours after it's been used. Midrabanan, the Ranet, so we require Kasher even beyond 24 hours. It's explicit in the Tafayin Vav, where the Gemara asks, Mikandei Elich Lishtri, after 24 hours, let it be Matvin. The Gemara says, Kedera Shein Bas Yom, Mishum Kedera Bas Yom. Make the Kedera, Benayna Ben Yomo, Atu Ben Yomo, Benayna Chinami. From a Torah perspective, you could have just waited 24 hours. But if you're hungry, and it has been used in the last 24 hours, so the Torah is giving you the option that you can kasher it. Now, if you hold like Rabbi Meir, the Darshan is a pasuk about Nevela differently, right? He says the pasuk about Nevela only teaches Lamute Srucha Meikara, that an animal that was already ruined while it was still alive, like a Mukashchid, so was not edible even before it became a Nevela, and therefore the Yisru Nevela is never Chal, but had it become a Nevela, it wouldn't lose the status of Nevela according to Rabbi Meir, even if it becomes inedible. Meaning, if the Isser Nevela were ever Chal to begin with, that Isser Nevela would be there to stay, right? Even though it would lose its edibility. And he also, therefore, Nosei Tam Lugam is Osir. So then you would need to kasher all Kalim, even beyond Ben Yamo. We paskin, obviously, Nosei Tam Lugam is Mutter, and on a Daraisa level, and therefore, Kalim Sheda Ben Yaman is the only reason we kasher them is Gzerim Drabanan. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch over here writes, that afilu ein tam upadum, Shulchan writes, kol dam shetam upadum ein os tarav asam, vafilu ein tam upadum achmas asam, shepefne asam mutu mishubach, el shepogu tarav asam mutur. Anything that lends a negative tam to the tarav asam is going to be mutur. That part about even if it's not inherently distasteful, but it's a tasty item, like chocolate syrup, but it just gives a bad taste to the tuna fish, right, that concept is a Beferish Gemara as well. The Gemara Nevel Dezara says that Yayin Nesach Shenafal Latoch Grisin. The Yayin is fine. Yayin meaning it's usher, but it's very tasty. But it's Nafal Latoch Grisin, and therefore it gives a negative taste into the Grisin. So that's going to be Mutter. If it negatively affects the Grisin, that's enough for it to be Mutter. There's a Chiddush in Darkei Tshuva. Darkei Tshuva. Someone just told me that the current Munkach Rebbe just published a new volume of Darkei Tshuva. Okay, he kept it going. You know, the Darkei Tshuva was written by the Munkach Rebbe. So, and I think someone just told me they were by the Munkach Rebbe, and he said, "Oh, you work in YU? Please bring this to Rav Shachter." So he wanted to give. So he said he asked the Munkach Rebbe, "How do you know Rav Shachter?" So it turns out, Shai told me that Munkacher calls him up for Shaila sometimes. So, the Rebbe said that the whole world knows that Rav Shachter is a genius in learning, and they know that he's such an anav. They don't realize his love of Yir Shemayim. That's what people miss out on. They don't realize the love of Yir Shemayim is just so mishunity. Okay, you should realize that we not only have the Gadol Hador in Israel, but also the level of Yerushalayim. They often go hand in hand. So the Darkei Tshuva is a chiddush, not the contemporary Darkei Tshuva, but the Zayda. And so the Darkei Tshuva has a chiddush. And Sifat and Gimli puts a Yad Yeruta. So even if the Tam isn't pogum, but the Reach is pogum, or Mu'uver Bodover Sharevo Ra, but Adam. That's also considered Nosei Tam Lugam. Meaning, it's an acknowledgement, I guess, of the combination of when we discussed Reich Milson, we spoke about the connection between aroma and taste, right? So when something smells awful, it's very, very difficult to eat something. So that's also problem. That's also considered to be a problem. Now, Soloveitchik suggests that the Machlokes are Meir and Shimon, Machlokes Tanan that we have in Avon Zara, is about the relationship between Macholos Asuras on the one hand and Tumas Ochlin on the other hand. When it comes to Tumas Ochlin, something that was never Ra'oi, La'achilas Adam, does not become Tame. Right? It was never an Ochel, it was never Ra'oi La'achilas Adam. But if food had become Tame, it remains Tame until it's Nusam Le'achilas Kedem. Right, so this comes under the context of chametz, and comes under the context of tumas oltan, but not that, you know, something is only ineligible for tumas oltan if it's nifsal mechlis kalim. No. Even if it's nifsal mechlis adam, it's ineligible to become tamei b'tumas oltan. But once it's already tamei b'tumas oltan, while it was edible, it became tamei b'tumas oltan, it will only lose the tumah. The tumah is only poreach mimenu when it becomes nifsal mechlis kalim. So, if there's a parallel between Macholos Asuros and Tumas Ochlin, then Asrucha Me'ikara will never become Asr. But that which is Roy L'Achilas Adam and became Asr would remain Asr even after it's Nifsal Me'achilas, even after it's Nifsal Me'achilas Adam, even though, but when it dips below Nifsal Me'achilas Adam. And that's the sheet of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon holds that by Macholos Asuros, as soon as somebody becomes Nifsal Me'achilas Adam, it immediately becomes Mutter, which clearly does not parallel to Tumas Ochlin, because by Tumas Ochlin, you need to get to the point of Nifsal Me'achilas Kelev. If you have a shame ochel on it, or you already shame tumah on it, we need to get to the point of Nifsal Me'achilas Kelev. So obviously, Rabbi Shimon does not think that it aligns perfectly with the dinim of tumah. So that's our salvation thought, that they're arguing whether we use tumas, whether the Torah links the dinim of tumas ochlin and the dinim of machalas asuros. Now, if you have a piece of food, so if you have a blia in a pot, so we know that after 24 hours the blia in the pot becomes pogum and therefore it's not going to be able to trade anything up anymore. What about actual mamashos of food? Let's say you have food and it's been around for 24 hours. So I remember the first time we did this, someone said, doesn't food just become pogum after 24 hours? So I don't know about you, but you ever hear of leftovers? So Shabbos leftovers, it may not be as delicious as it was when it was fresh on Shabbos, but after 24 hours, dare I say, after 48 hours also, it's still edible. It's still a perfectly delicious dinner. I'm pretty sure that's the plan of the Leibowitz house tonight. We have a lot of leftovers from the offer, so it doesn't become totally puzzled. Rashi writes in the Zohar, in the old days, Dabshitalon called Tavshil Shalom Laila Echa Nivka Taimo Va'avar Tzurasa. So the Rashash in Salakovim Beis on Tosfos, Rashash Kami on Tosfos, Medayit Misrashi, that even the food itself, if it's Eva Ben Yomo, is no sin tam of gam. When Rashi says Uber Tzurasa, he means that by kachim stays overnight, it's considered Uber Tzurasa Habasar. So that's a huge hit, right? Meaning, obviously, it itself does not become Nifsa. Meaning, remember, go back to our two definitions of Pagan. Right? The first definition of Pagan is the food itself becomes gross. So that certainly doesn't happen after 24 hours. But the second type is Bitarobis. It's not Pogobatsmuso, it's the Pogi Bitarobis. Would you say that about food that's going to work around? That it is no same time into another food, that by definition it's giving a time problem. So Rashash is medayik from Rashi that yes, that even the food, not just on a blia, that the food itself, once it's been around for 24 hours, is presumed to give a time problem. So we're going to have to discuss whether this applies in any way, la halacha, and how it might apply to very tiny amounts of food stuck on the surface. Tosus used the din of Ibar Tzura that you have by Kachim as the basis of a Kalvachomer, that Nosin Tam Lukam the Kedera Shein of Yomo is also that if the food itself is considered Tam Ibar Tzura so overnight, so Tam and Nifu Kedera becomes Nifka Monetzin of Yomo. And that's what the Rosh Hashanah is being Mitaik, right? And Tosus says this concept of Ibar Tzura that you have by Kachim, where the fact that it goes overnight is going to ruin its Tzura of Kachim, is a basis for the concept of Nosin Tam Lufka. Right, the question is how mukhrach is that the two are necessarily related. But that's something, again, just as we begin the sugya, to sort of put on the radar. Now we know we have these two models of, we have Pagum Batzmuso and Pagum Batarovas. What happens when a food itself has been around for more than 24 hours, but then it goes into a Taroves? So do we assume that becomes like Pagum Batarovas? Or do we say, no, just because it's 24 hours, it's perfectly edible food, and you have to assess whether it's chocolate syrup on tuna fish or whether it's cheese on tuna fish for a tuna melt, which people like, right? Meaning, or something like that, or onions and tuna fish, I don't know, whatever, something that people enjoy. Reb Yosef quotes Hagos HaShri. We're just doing some laying foundational work over here before we get into any of the lumbus of the subject. Reb Yosef quotes Hagos HaShri, we have something that's not Nosin Tam of Gan, but it's also not Nosin Tam of Shvat. Right? So you have something just totally, you know, bland, benign, part of the Tam. It doesn't give the Tam of Shvat nor a Tam of Gan. So Reb Yosef quotes Hagos HaShri in the last part of the Zara, "V'im eino nosein tam lefkan v'lo l'shvach asr." Right? It's a heter of nosein tam lefkan, but if it's nosein tam and it doesn't have any impact in one direction or the other, it's asr. That's what the Shach writes in the base. Right? The Shach writes that Avol Dabar Shein Nosein Tam Lo L'Shvach Lo L'Kam Asu Kikas Beis Yosef Hashem Gals Hashri Parag Beis Avot Parag Bas Avot Zichadim Zichatas etc. Vinirati Raya, says the Shach, Mirai the Kaimelam Dein Begidim Nosein Tam. We paskin that a Gid Anosha is not Nosein Tam. Vavilu Achli Kaimelam Tukum Shodin Sheni Moach Tzorok Shish Mecha. Let's say a Gid Anosha gets absorbed completely and disappears into a Tarobes. So you need shishim connected the kid. Why don't you just say it's ke'etz bi'alma, it's nosin tam l'gan, and therefore the mamashus of the kid only needs bitl baro, and the tam is not a concern of mine because it has no tam. There's no tam l'shvach. Elamai, having no tam l'shvach is not enough. It has to have a tam l'gan. If it doesn't have a tam l'shvach, that's not good enough. So he says, so therefore, that's a raya. The Minchas Kohen in the Chelik Aleph Perak Yud is Mekil, as is the Chachmas Adon and the Kafachat. That Tam Ki Iker is when there's Tam. When there's a real Tam, when there's a good Tam. Anything short of a good Tam is not Tam Ki Iker. Meaning it's not that there's a heter called Nosin Tam L'Gam. It's that Tam Ki Iker is only when there's a reasonable Tam. If it's not a reasonable Tam, it's not a good Tam, so then it's automatically... It's automatically going to be a Muslim. So these are the two extreme shitas, right? You have the Agos HaShri part of the Shach, then you have Milchas Kohen and the Chachmas Adam and the Kafachayim who were making. The middle ground is Prima Gadim in Sif Seidah Sif Katan Beis, the name Pri Chadash, claiming that the Ishtobush Kahani, it's a good phrase, I mean, it's a funny thing. He says, who am I arguing on? The Shach and the Milchas Kohen. Both in opposite directions. All the Kohanim here made a mistake. Right? The Shach and the Milchas Kohen both made a mistake. And there's a middle ground with it. That the Shach would be right about things that you can taste, but it doesn't taste any better or worse. But when it comes to something that's Yamish Ke'etz, then it's considered Eino Roi L'Gerah and it's going to be Mutter. Meaning, there are two ways that something could be not giving a positive nor a negative time. Sometimes you taste it, but like you're agnostic toward its impact on the food. You know, some people, as soon as they taste something that has coconut in it, they freak out. Ah, coconut off! Some people love coconut, some people, good, good, I don't care. Coconut milk, soy milk, it's all the same, right? And it doesn't really make a difference. So, sometimes, you don't even detect it. You don't even know that it's there. You're not even able to taste it, because it's just wood. It's palma. It doesn't have any... So if it's adding a tam, and you're just agnostic toward the what the tam is doing to it, you don't care one way or the other, yeah, then you're going to have to call that like tam l'shvach. Then that's going to be awesome. But if it's not adding any tam at all, then the Milchas Kohen would be right that that's going to be mutter. Who cares? I mean, we care because it's learning and we love Torah, but like halacha l'maisa. Play out halacha in a minute. So it is very relevant halacha l'maisa. R'maisha is a tshuva in the Gesmaisha Yardeich El Beisim Chav Dalit, where he talks about the shellac that they would put on candies, confectioner's glaze. You may be familiar with confectioner's sugar because that's a normal product to have in people's homes. And confectioner's glaze is less common for people to have in their homes. Now to make the candy look shiny. right? Yeah, but an M&M doesn't look rough on the end. It shines, right? That's it. It looks like you grow little white arms and start dancing. I mean, it's, right? So if you have a glaze on the eye, it happens to be the tshuva that Rav Moshe wrote was written to Rav Nachum Kornmiller. It's a part of the book. I'm just curious. Anyone know who Rav Nachum Kornmiller was? What?
Gelatin.
Ah. So Rav Nachum Kornmiller was the Rav HaMachshir of Barton's candy, which was the first kosher candy. It was like the And he gave the Hashkacha for Pesach. He was also my rabbi as a little boy. He died when I was probably like 10 or 11. But when I was a little kid, when we moved into Lawrence, when I was 7 years old, so we started down in the English Lawrence Cedars. And at that time, Rav Kornmiller was a very old man. He was an Eloi. He was a Dayan in Vienna when he was like 19 or something. And he ended up in he was in Albany for many years. Then he ended up, starting a small shul in the Five Towns. No one lived in the Five Towns. He started a small shul in the Five Towns, which became the English Lawrence Cedars. So Kornmiller, when I remember that he would give a drasha, and the shul was the shul had like 15 rows of benches. Only the people in the first two rows could hear him, because he was so old, he was so weak that you couldn't even hear. And everyone was quiet all the time. It was just, you realized that there was a walking Sefer Torah. You have respect for the Shemi Luchas and the Aaron, you also have respect. But then they realized at a certain point, we should probably hire an assistant rabbi, So Kornmiller was like this tall, he's like 4 foot two or something. So then the joke was, when they hired Rabbi Teitelbaum was like 6'5". So they figured they want to hire someone who will take at least another 60 years till he dips below 5 feet. So Kornmiller lived for another couple of years after that. But he was the rabbi. I'm not sure Barton's candy. So he was he actually has chuvas. He wrote his own chuvas also that they used to give out at shul dinners. So if you know any old time Lawrence Balabatim, you could probably go to their bookshelf, dust off the copy, because they used to give it out at the shul dinners. How many people in the shul at that time were able to read the tshuva from, there was probably such a disconnect in terms of the madrega. But anyway. So I grew up on stories of, Salvechik had a big sukkah with Kornmiller about something in the Pesach Hashkat. I think it was about the corn syrup. Someone told me that they were in Rav Salvechik. This is not the way anyone else in Rav Salvechik Shira remembers it, but I remember someone from the Israelite Cedars told me that they were in Rav Salvechik Shira. Rav Salvechik gave out a public statement that you cannot eat Barton's candy on Pesach. And the next day, Kornmiller walked into Yeshiva to meet with Rav Salvechik. That was his whole Ashkach. It was for the Barton's candy. And this person says he remembers that they met for like an hour or two. And afterwards, Rav Salvechik said, "I still hold candy, Barton's candy, but I also hold the Kornmiller's nuts and butter." What is confectioner's shellac? What's that? So it was made from tefillin that are yonkim misraf ilan yadua, some sort of tefillin that suckle from the sap of some type of tree, and they put it in a refinery and they clarify it, meaning they make it a nice clear glaze, and it has no tam, and they mix it with alcohol at a ratio of 3:1 alcohol to tolaim, so it's rov alcohol miut tolaim, and Rav Moshe concludes al tolaim la shach sheoser hurakimino. So essentially, he really had three or four reasons to be making. They're all debatable, but one of them is this, and it's not nosin tam in either direction. So if something's not nosin tam in either direction, not lefkam and not leshvach, maybe that's mutter. It's a little bit difficult from a Metzius perspective, because after the shellac is applied to the alcohol, they evaporate the alcohol, and the finished shellac remains on the candy. It's almost pure shellac on the candy. So what do you do with that? I mean, it got mixed with the alcohol, but now all the alcohol is gone. And all the, right? Meaning, I remember when I was a kid, my mother used to make what they call Harvey Wallbanger cake, right? Or Kahlua cake, right? Cake with high alcohol content. So, you know, children were told that there's vodka in this cake. So we pretended we were drunk every time we had a piece of cake, right? But if we weren't drunk, right? Why weren't we drunk? Because all the alcohol burns off. And all the alcohol doesn't stay. When you bake it, the alcohol burns off in the oven. So the alcohol burns off from the shellac. They evaporate all of the alcohol. So what remains on the fruit or on whatever they're putting it on the candy is 80% shellac, which the Chora does not allow for bittul. Meaning, over here you have to be bottled with mamashas. It's not, forget about the tam. There's mamasha, meaning in order for those that don't come to work, when the mamashas is there, you have to be bottled with mamashas perov, and then you can talk about whether the tam is going to be a problem. But if you're not bottled with mamashas perov, you have a problem. As for Rav Moshe's interpretation of the shot, Chumas Emek HaTshuva, Chelek Gimel Siman Samech Vav, he writes, Vagon hanal bir divrei hashachzal b'derech rachok asher ein bo shum remez remiza b'zev divrei haposkim. So he doesn't agree with Rav Moshe's reading of the shach. And he thinks that the shach, Rav Moshe reads that the shach would be makil in this case, where the shach pretty much says explicitly not that way, right? Meaning where the shach says that if it's einu nosen tam lo shachol kam it's asur. So Moshe has a way to try and touch up the shot that's only what does he say? What does he say? Burak b'mino, right? That which the shach asks, that's only when it's b'mino. But when it's eino mino, when it's not listening to one direction or the other, then even the shach is going to be made. So that's what the Tshuva Sevek HaTshuva says, that Moshe was incorrect in his reading of the shach. So okay, so these things do come up. In these again, a lot of things that we mentioned come up more in industrial settings than they do in a regular kitchen setting. Now, let's go back to the most important yisod we said today, which is the two types of tam pavim, right? There's pavim batzmuso and there's pavim b'tarobes. So the Rashba and Taurus Abayas. It's quoted by Yosef, discusses how pogum something has to be in order for it to be mutter. So he first quotes Rashi in Avodah Zarah, who says that the Einan Achelas Lav Dafka, the Kiva to Pekimasa Porta Karila Einan Achelas. It doesn't have to be something that's not edible, as long as it's no Seitam Pukam, and it gives it a little bit more of a negative taste. That's called Einan Achelas. Yosef quotes a Ran, that there are two rayas to Rashi. Number one, a Kedera Shein of Asiyama is considered also in Tam of God. Would you ever say, oh, Mom, you cooked this for dinner? It tastes like it was cooked in a Kedera Shein of Asiyama. You ruined the whole food. Right? No one holds that the Tam in a Kedera Shein of Asiyama is actually going to ruin the food. So it doesn't have to be something that's in that fellas. It just has to be that. It doesn't enhance the food. One could add that even Rav Meir says in the Hemshech HaGemara, that Keder Bas Yoma is E'efshad de lo pagam porta. That even Keder Bas Yoma is E'efshad de lo pagam porta. Any Blia is pagam porta. So apparently pagam porta makes a difference. Secondly, earlier in the Saksavot Zara, the Gemara permits Shemen Udvash of Gayin that were cooked in the non-Jews Trefa Kalim, because the assumption is that the meat gives a tam pagam into the honey or the oil. So it could be that there's tam of basar that the Gayim had cooked, that the Nachri had cooked basar in that same kli, and now there's tam of basar in that shemen or in that dvash. Yeah, but that doesn't help the shemen. The dvash, to the contrary, makes the shemen and dvash worse. And there's pasuk here in Siddat, right? What does it say here in Shulchan? That shemen and dvash shall become apal di shem uvushalim mutarim. The reisha basar pogim as shemen umasricho v'chein l'dvash. Right. So that's the raya that Rashi is correct. The Rad himself, however, says that it has to be so bad that a person wouldn't eat it. Just like in the Veil Shein Rilu Get, meaning if something isn't perfect but it's still edible, that's not called nosin tam of God. Aye, affect the rod. What about after 24 hours? We consider the time to become pogum, even though it doesn't, obviously it doesn't totally ruin the food. How can you say that the bleos are totally inedible after 24 hours and they're not just pogum b'mitzas? So the Ran says that they're a beis din of inosin tamufka. The way the Beis Yosef puts the Ran is v'nirali tahayin taima delo asra Torah elok shiru yulager v'mesha ochla ne'enem in an isra. That the Torah only asks us when it's really the care, where the person is getting a nod from the Israel. Apple dishi nifka maktsas, even though it may not taste so great. Abu Kalshain really the care, Kim Shainu Nanam in the Isr, it's Irasa Torah. But if it's not really the care, then he's not getting any a nod from the Isr, the Torah's mafia. The Apple dishi chal Isr mitchiva, even though the Isr was chal initially. After Isr Shinos in Tabatr, Kibush had to nifkam ktsas bin Isr. When you eat a piece of meat that has become a little bit worse, right, a little bit bad, so you're still eating nana from the Yisr. But when you have a piece of meat that's heter, and then something gave a shtickle tampagum into that piece of meat, something gave a tampagum of tarfus into that meat, you're not nana from the Yisr at all, you're mitzdarala. Meaning, the entire Isr is to be nan from the Isr. That's what Iran learns. So if you get no benefit from the Isr, it would be fine. If you eat a piece of steak that is not perfectly tasting, right, it's still, you're still eating a piece of steak, you still don't need to eat another dinner, you're still getting some anah from it. But if flavors of Isr negatively affect the heter, then you prefer if those flavors of Isr were never there. And therefore you're not getting any hana'ah from the Isr. So that's the way the Ran understands. That it's all a din in Nen. The Ramban and the Rashba say a little differently. Ramban and the Rashba say as follows. When we talk about the piece of Nevela itself, it has to be in a real gap. It has to be completely inedible. But when we discuss Blios of Isr, the issue is just whether the Blios are being nosing tam. And Allah, we only consider something to be nosing tam if it's going to that's going to cause trouble and it's going to apply tam kikr, if it's going to give a positive tam. Meaning, when the whole concern is tam kikr, it's only if it's going to give a positive tam. If it's not going to give a positive tam, then we don't say tam kikr. So, Prima Gadin and the Chavos Das explain that nosing tam of kam is not the same as any real again. Meaning that they're tzvei din. Meaning this is what we were highlighting before. That till you get to the Ramban and the Rashba about these two different din of tam pagum, right, you have to sort of go through the motions of, you know, the Gemara sort of seems to put them all together. Right? It puts the Gilei Nachrim together, the Bein Uri Lager, it's all the same sugya. So how do you, so the Ran comes up with the Shtigl Tamar, it's all about Hanah. Whether if you're getting enough from it, then it's probably not getting. You have Rashi that says Tam Pagum means mamish. That Tam Pagum just means that it's not as good. But the Ramban and the Rashi say it depends. That there's Tzvedinim over here. A small amount of Isra that gets mixed into Heter has two problems. The Tam, which you take care of by saying that it contributed negatively, and the Mamashos, which it has become Batal Barov. But if you just have a piece of non kosher, that has to become mamashin ilugar. That has to become mamashin inedible. The problem with this mahalich, which we took as a dark pashon, and we still take as a dark pashon, we think is correct, the halacha, is that the Gemara derives nosin tamukam from mamashin ilugar. So to say that they have different gedarim and that they're different tetarim is a little, you know, it's at least a little difficult. It's at least a little bit challenging. The stipler asks this kasha, and the Prudhavadu the Chavos Das, in their presentation of Shitas HaRashba. And it's exactly the Ran's question. Right? The Ran's, Aval Adayin Tzarech Miyashiv, Hechi Garminil Mami Neveinu. That's the Ran's Lasha. How can I learn this from Neveinu? Meaning, if there are two different Dinim, two different Gidarim, then they shouldn't be learned from one another. So Prima Gadim asks this kasha also, and he addresses it. Says Shemitzinu Chilik Bin Neveinu, Yeshua Nalon Lomar, Detam Ki'ikol Asutara El B'mushba. Meaning, just like there's a concept that an Isr loses its status as a food when it becomes nifsal, and therefore becomes mutter, so too, tam, that is pogum taravis, loses its status as tam, and therefore we cannot apply tam ke'ikr. Because a food needs to be roi l'achila, a tam needs to be roi l'ashbiyah. Meaning, there's also such thing as achila of a tam. So what does it need to be roi for? It needs to be roi for what Tom does, which is lashpia. What does food do? Food is eaten. So in order for the food to lose its status of non-kosher, it needs to lose what it does. Food is eaten, it's roi lachila. So when it's not roi lachila, it loses its status of non-kosher food. Tom's whole function is to be mashpia, is to give positive flavor into something. You can't eat Tom, you can only enjoy Tom. So as soon as you're not enjoying the Tom, so then it becomes nifsa. Which is not exactly what the Rashi and the Ramban seem to say. Right? The Rashi and the Ramban seem to say that after 24 hours, the Belios themselves are machalos asuras. Right? They're still machalos asuras, but they just can't affect the food in the pot. The Ra'a raises the question that if that were the case, that when you cook kosher food in the name of Enyom Apat, you're being mevatelis l'chachila, that should be asumi d'oraisa. So how can the Gemara say, l'osu k'deir v'as yoma, and Enyom Benyom was fine? What do you mean Enyom Benyom was fine? You're being mevatelis l'chachila, and d'oraisa lovely, you're being mevatelis l'chachila. So the Rashi gives three answers to defend this position of the Ra'a, that she agrees with us. In Mishmeres Habayis, he says, or even if you could still cook in the Kedem Shein Bas Yom on a Daraisa level without any concern that he's being Mevatel L'Shulchatil. Why? Because the holy of Mevatel L'Shulchatil is only when there's a Siyag Daraisa that you might end up getting the ratio wrong and not being Mevatel L'Yisra. Right, we saw this in our Rashi. But when you're dealing with Eino Ben Yom Oblios, there's no chance of ever miscalculating, because it will always be butter. Right? It's not about a ratio anymore. So, in Afinami, the Eino Ben Yom Oblios have a shame Isser, but they'll always be butter, because they're never going to give a Tam L'Shan. Even if you have 1,000 units of Eino Ben Yom or whatever, it doesn't matter what the numbers are. So if you can never miscalculate the ratio, then there's never a concern of the siyag da'oraisa of ein vatlin zilchakhila. Or, third, Rashba says, ein vatlin is only when you have kavana l'vatlin. When you're cooking ein binyam, which imparts a tam pahadim, obviously not in kavana for the tam isra, because you much prefer, for it to become vatl. You'd much prefer a pot that doesn't have any negative plias. The Ra'a, for his part, says that blios after 24 hours are in fact in a real yer. And there aren't two separate dinim. The idea of dosim tam v'gam is exactly the halacha of in a real yer. And even though blios and a kli will not ruin the food that you cook in the pot after 24 hours, the blios themselves are pagam v'gam. The blios themselves are not way lechilas yer. And therefore, after 24 hours, you just don't have taras. Remember, the Ra'a is one set of dishes. Exactly 24 hours. There's nothing that's not kosher anymore. So Be'ezras Hashem. Oh, tomorrow is Tuesday. So we're not going to have shiur. Should we try from Rabbi Sobolowski? What the story is about? No. Okay. What? Do we have questions? No. It's been all long since we haven't had any much halacha. Okay, so eventually on Wednesday we'll start getting into nafkaminas between the Rashba and volume versus taste, and what if you benefit from the volume versus taste.